Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Bonus episode of Lunar Lover the podcast. I'm your host Jordana Levine, and today I have an astrological treat for you. Earlier this week, I caught up with my mate and astrologer Jules Ferrari to find out exactly what the hell is going on with 2020 from an astrological perspective. And guys, it's huge. Jules walks us through the big conjunctions astrologers have been awaiting with the arrival of 2020 and why none of them are surprised it's played out as it has. Jules also helps us to explore the meaning behind our current circumstance, what we can expect for the rest of the year, and how we can apply the teachings of the energies to our own life. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you take a screenshot on your phone and share it to your Instagram stories so your friends can see. You can tag me at Jordana Levine and tag Jules at golden_nature. So Jules, I guess what everyone's dying to know is, how come nobody predicted this outbreak? Like, or did they? And did they just not tell us?
Astrologers have been talking about 2020 for decades. There's always been a lot of emphasis on this year. You know, for astrologers, this is essentially what everyone else was. You know, everyone else was freaking out in 2012, but for an astrologer, it's always been 2020. Yeah. You know, because of some things that have been happening, like Saturn conjunct Pluto, Pluto conjunct Jupiter. These are really, really big, strong astrological happenings, and yeah, they're all taking place in Capricorn, which is, in a collective sense, really represents society. So there has always been an emphasis, but
has this ever happened before?
The last major one, when Saturn was conjunct Pluto, it happens every 33 to 38 years, but the really big one from last century was 1914-1915, happened just as World War I started.
Wow.
Not that that's what's going to happen now.
No, but it's like big world global events, yes, like nobody's immune kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's essentially almost like a collective Saturn return in a really intense. Because if you sort of think about it, it's like, well, like I said, Capricorn to me in a collective sense really represents society, its societal structures.
Yeah.
Saturn is very much, it can be constriction, contraction. It's a lot to do with, again, structures, time. It's the lord of karma in the sense of, you know, what you reap, you sow. And then Pluto is very much, when these guys get together, it's very much a period of really looking at the substructures of society. So it's like, you know, and we've all just experienced this, because on a day-to-day basis we're just walking around and we're very familiar with how things are, but now through this pandemic we've really sort of slipped into the substructures, and we're seeing how liquid and yeah, I guess malleable society actually is.
Okay, can we break down some of these conjuncts a little bit, or maybe even let people know what a conjunct is?
Sure. So a conjunction is when two planets are within a 10-degree orb in the sky. So, you know, in astrology, we're taking in 360 degrees from the Earth's perspective. And so when two planets get very close to each other within, you know, yeah, 10-degree radius, it's called a conjunction. So it essentially fuses the two very disparate energies of those planets.
Wow. Okay. So what's happening with these particular ones?
Sure. So, well, yeah, so Saturn's really a lot to do with, and this, it happened on the 11th, 12th of January. That's when it was exactly 0 degrees. So they were exactly together, but they're very slow moving. So we're still within that 10-degree orb and will be for some time.
Okay.
But yeah, so essentially Saturn is, it's really a lot to do with, in an individual sense, you know, a Saturn return is a lot to do with a period where we really start to look at our own integrity, to see if we have any, basically, or our value structures. It's a lot to do with, yeah, it's like a period where reality really shows us, what it is that we have been doing in the world, you know, and we sort of either reap the benefits or we face plant, essentially.
I know lots of people who face planted during their Saturn return.
Totally. Oh, yeah. I got smashed to the ground.
You're
yeah.
Same.
yeah. So it's really, it's almost like the way I always think of Saturn is it's the really strict teacher that you had in school. You know, you had to be disciplined, you had to be organized, you had to pay attention, but you learnt more from them than all of your other teachers.
Yes.
You know, it sets limits, it sets limitations, or it shows you your limitations or any structural limitations that you've applied to yourself or that have been applied to you. So because it's in Capricorn and has been for the last 3 years, you know, if people have their natal chart, it would be worth seeing on their natal chart where Capricorn is, because that's where really this energy is taking place in your own chart. But from a collective standpoint, it's very much been like a revision of society. And so Pluto represents, it's all the cool stuff. It's essentially death rebirth cycles. It's the natural ruler of Pluto. So it's, yeah, it's a lot to do with the substructures. It's the underworld. Mm. It's the shadow self. You know, it's everything that is taboo that we don't usually discuss. So really when these guys get together, it's Pluto.
It's fucking mayhem is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's sort of, it really tests, Pluto really tests the societal structures or the Saturnian structures. And if they are valid, if they are true, if they, you know, because we're all abiding by them. So now it's like a period where it's like, oh shit, okay, maybe it's not as strong. Maybe these structures are flimsy. Maybe we actually have more control than we've, you know, thought in the past. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So on like an individual basis, how do you work out how, I mean, it is affecting us all as a society, obviously.
Yeah.
But I know you said before, have a look where Capricorn is for you. But where do you, like, how will we feel it on an individual basis? Does it matter what sign our Saturn is in or our Pluto is in?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, I've been reading a few natal charts for people who have this in their natal chart, this conjunction. And they're quite interesting people, like almost like natural disruptors, if that makes
sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, certainly what I would be looking at is, yeah, where is Capricorn? Because that will show you the terrain where this may more so be taking place for you. But I would definitely look at where Pluto and Scorpio is, because really when Pluto's operating wonderfully, it's this real sort of ability to walk through intensity, to walk through the fire and know, I'm just going to relinquish control. I have faith that I can get through anything. Usually as a byproduct of somebody who has a lot of self-awareness and has gone through these death rebirth cycles internally already. The low version is control freaks, essentially. You know, it's like if you have an issue relinquishing control, then this is probably an exceptionally uncomfortable time. Because you're really not in control.
Yeah, feels. That's exactly what I'm going through at the moment. It's like, you mean I can't plan for my future?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, both our Virgo moons are freaking out.
Okay, yeah. So how long are we likely to feel this particular conjunction?
Well, you know, it's Sun's just moved into Aquarius until July. So we're really sort of, we are experiencing the repercussions of this conjunction. But, you know, in terms of the other big thing that's happening this year is Pluto, which is awesome. It's so, it's really cool how the cosmos works in this way, I think, because Pluto is also going to be conjunct Jupiter three times this year. The first time was on the 4th of April. So this is the exact sort of opposite energy of Saturn. You know, Saturn is contraction. Jupiter is expansion. Jupiter is the broadening of horizons. It's seeking for the truth in a thing. So when Pluto and Jupiter come together, it's really, you know, because essentially the slate has been wiped clean through this conjunction, and now it's a period of like, okay, well, what can we put in its place? What are the higher ideals or the higher truth and meaning that this previous conjunction is trying to show?
So it's essentially that rebirth part of the Pluto cycle, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And so that's happening another two times throughout the year.
Yeah, at the end of June and then in the middle of November as well.
Fantastic. Because this is what, I mean, look, with everything that's going on, that's what I'm holding on to the most is the silver linings and the gold that will come out through this massive disruption to our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And astrologically, that's kind of it's playing out that way.
Yeah. And there is so much gold because, you know, I mean, if we look at as well, if we look at the lunar eclipses of this year, they're all between Cancer and Capricorn. Mm. So it's very much a year where we're looking at, is there a balance between my home and my work?
And my work is in my home right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But more so than that, it's like, is there a balance between my inner integrity, like my inner root system, and then what I project out into the world? And I think for a lot of people, this has been a period where, like for some of us, it's just we haven't even really felt it. Like I was going to be on maternity leave anyway, so I just stay indoors all the time. So it hasn't massively affected me, but for some people, well, for a lot of people and a lot of my clients, it's massive because it makes them aware of, okay, maybe there hasn't been any balance in my life. Maybe I haven't been, maybe I haven't structured my reality in a way that best serves who I am.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to do with this balance between the inner and the outer worlds.
So, look, I mean, I guess all of astrology really is about how can I take what's going on up there and sort of either mirror it or use it as a reflection on what's going on inside of me. It's a massive self-reflection piece, right? Like,
yeah,
and self-awareness piece. So what are the things you think that we need to start looking at within ourselves as Corona sort of plays out and all of this stuff is sort of happening?
Sure. Well, happens? I think one of the major things that's been going on, and I've definitely felt this, you know, I think for a lot of us, there are a lot of opportunities happening just before this hit, which, you know, obviously now it's sort of not a great economic time, and there's, a lot of spindrift in the streets. But essentially it's like, do you have faith in something higher? You know, do you believe – it's almost a period where we're really becoming aware of, do you think the universe is malevolent or benevolent? You know, like, do you actually have faith that maybe these things are playing out for some higher purpose? And do you trust in that, or do you trust in something higher? As well as that, it's an amazing time to really analyze, okay, what is my value system? What do I value? You know, for a lot of people, it's like really identifying how much they do value their friendships, things like travel. You know, because we've had so much stripped away from us, now we're really able to see almost with a clear lens, this is what I really value and miss.
And I just love, in a really kind of sick way, how it has been forced and thrust upon us, because, you know, people always say, oh, yeah, no, just simplify, just strip back and see what, you know, what is really of value to you. But you can't do that unless it's actually physically, tangibly taken away from you.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I've really enjoyed it. For me personally, I've realized that as an introvert, I cancel on social occasions all the time.
Is it?
But I've really realized how valuable they are to me. I didn't realize that the few times that I do go, it does it does impact me energetically, and I really miss it. I miss connection. Yeah. And I've also really, you know, I'm such an independent person, especially when it comes to love and relationships. Mm. And I've realized it's okay to be okay alone, but it's okay to not want to be alone.
Yeah, totally. You know?
And I think that's something that's come up for a lot of single people during this time. You know, it's like, it's okay to be okay on your own, but it's okay to not want to be. And that's sort of like where our values are shifting as well. I think it's so enlightening. And, you know, for us in Australia, it's only been, what, like 4 weeks or something? Not even, I don't think.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much has come up already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Yeah, like you said, it's because it's happening to so many people at once, it's almost – I know there's some inequality within it, but there's also this sort of, it's a very democratic happening, you know, it's whether you're sort of poor or wealthy, like we're all sort of feeling the effects of it. Like even princes and prime ministers are getting it. Do you know what I mean? It's a fascinating, fascinating time. And I really think, it's just making us aware more than anything of like, okay, well, we have applied meaning to the societal structures that we find ourselves in, and now we're experiencing a period where that curtain has essentially fallen, and now we can sort of see, well, actually the application of meaning is in my hands, if that makes sense.
Yes. Oh, okay. Anything else major to look at from an astrological perspective that's happening throughout 2020?
I mean, they're the main big boys. The next round of eclipses is in There's one on the 21st of June, which is a solar eclipse in Cancer. And then the 4th, 5th of July, there's a lunar eclipse in Capricorn. So that's going to be very strong, just because all of these conjunctions I've just talked about are all taking place in Capricorn. So it will really sort of shine the spotlight again on that opposition of, you know, because in astrology, Cancer is essentially the root system, the inner root system of an individual. It's your sanctuary. It's the depths of who you are when nobody's looking, essentially. And then, you know, Capricorn it's the tree. It's what the public sees. It's your public role, your projected self out in the world. So it's really an axis, or looking at if there is a balance between those two entities. And, you know, for a lot of us, we put on a mask when we go outside, or the job that we do is, it might be in line with who we are, but maybe it's not. You know, it's really looking at, you know, the healthier the root system, the further out that tree can go.
Yeah.
So it will really be looking at all of this within that framework again.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we've got to get our shit and our values in order by June 21st. So when then it's reflected back to us, we're in a really good space.
Yeah, that's your homework.
I know this month, just to bring it a little bit closer to time, where we've got a few retrogrades coming up. What are we likely to feel during those? What is it? I think it's Venus, Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter. They're all going backwards, right?
Yeah. Well, it's cool because we've just entered Taurus, and, you know, as you know, like, Taurus is the Earth version of Venus. So it's interesting with this Venus retrograde, you know, again, it's like perfect timing, to my brain anyway, because Venus is, again, so much to do about our value system. And, you know, Taurus in and of itself is an energy that's really concerned with material and financial security, which obviously would be a big theme for most people.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, because the spotlight of the sun is moving through that zone, we're really becoming aware of it. But underneath that level is really, Taurus really, really represents what is your relationship to your own worth and your own value. And really it's a lot to do with building an anchor within the flavor of who you are. And, you know, with this Venus retrograde, it's always, I love retrogrades because to me it's just a period of like nerdy revision, you know. It's essentially it's essentially just being able to look at, again, where you apply your meaning, where you apply your value, particularly when we are going through this sort of chrysalis period. So it is a shaky period. There's not really any firm ground, which is very uncomfortable territory for that sort of Taurean energy. It's not mutable. It's fixed. Mm. It likes things to be how they are, and they're not at the moment. Yeah.
And I guess it's all about, yeah, stability and security, right? And yeah. We're not feeling that at all at the moment.
Totally. Yeah. So it's almost, again, like pushing us back inside of ourselves to go, okay, well, if everything is stripped away, who am I?
Wow. Yeah. And I think that's something that's coming up a lot for people right now because, yeah, you know, work is their identity, or,
yeah,
you know, how much is in the bank is who they are, and yeah, when all of that's stripped away, it's like, well, who the fuck am I?
Yeah, exactly. It's like that Capricornian outer identity, like my concrete role out in the world has been earthquaked. So it's like when all of that crumbles and you come back to the root system of who you are, who is that person? Do you like hanging out with that person? Do you like that person? How much do you distract yourself from that person?
Yeah.
It's so cool. It's a very big it's a very big year of self-evaluation and sitting with the uncomfortableness of the self.
Yeah, which is where real growth comes from.
Totally. Yeah. Which is, it's Pluto, you know, that's why, you know, cool Scorpios or people with strong Pluto in their chart who aren't psycho dictators are awesome. You know, they're the best, because these are people who aren't afraid to navigate the depths. They live in the depths. You know, they're always sort of aware of the substructures or the hierarchies, the power plays that are going on all the time. You know, they're constantly reevaluating the depths of self. You know, and essentially, like, we are humans. We have to be adaptable. We have to allow ourselves to transform, because otherwise we just remain stagnant and we don't fit within the world, you know?
Yeah. And these cycles are happening whether we allow ourselves to evolve with them or not. And the more we resist it, the harder
smashed.
It is. Yeah, you get smashed. Jules, have you looked at the natal charts of some of our leaders, world leaders?
Yeah, I was doing a course the other day and we were looking at Trump's chart, which is pretty interesting.
He's a fellow Gemini.
No, but he's really interesting. He's, you know, he has the thing that this woman was talking about was, I think he has Cancer in the 11th house, and he just, you know, he takes it so personally when people don't agree with him or affront him. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I've looked at a few people's charts, but usually just when I'm doing like extra nerdy classes.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at Boris's or anything.
I just think it'd be so interesting to see how this is all affecting them on a really personal level, because of course you see what they have to put out to their country or the rest of the world. And I mean, a lot of that must be a front.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how many like little sensitive Pisces moons there are walking around out there, you know?
Well, I think that the thing with Trump, which was interesting, is for him, Capricorn and Cancer is on the bridge of the 11th to the 5th. So Cancer is in 11th. So for him, his family is essentially the people who agree with him. It's like the people within his nation who agree with him. And, you know, he puts his back up, or he puts his shell up when people don't like him. He takes it very personally.
You can sense that little kind of like shield or shell that he puts up as soon as he's offended by something. I shouldn't laugh. He can cause mass destruction. So then my next question for you, I guess, is, oh, hang on, just on that on the retrogrades.
Yeah.
You've spoken a little bit about the energy of Pluto and Jupiter and Saturn individually. When they do go into retrograde in May, how does that energy shift for those planets?
You know, because they move so slowly, like, well, Saturn takes 28, 29 years to move around the zodiac. Mm-hmm. Pluto takes 248. So it's they're
I mean, no rush, says Pluto.
So they're very often in retrograde. You know, Saturn's in retrograde 6 months of every year.
Okay.
Well, I guess, you know, in terms of this, it's a period of reflection on what has just been. There's no massive changes. Yeah. It's more felt by the personal planets, you know, like Mercury, Venus and Mars.
Okay. And Mercury's definitely not going backwards this month.
No.
All good. So when then can we forecast when perhaps the energy might sort of lighten up a little bit or give us a little bit more sort of forward momentum in terms of kind of progress? It's not all internal.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, these next two conjunctions between Pluto and Jupiter. So June 30th and then November 12th will certainly feel, or perceptually it will more be tied in with the meaning of what's taking place. But then, you know, when Saturn properly moves into Aquarius in December this year, then it won't be in any sort of relationship to Pluto anymore.
Okay.
I certainly can't say when the pandemic will finish.
No, give me a date, Jules. That's why I hear.
we'll be feeling the effects of this for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as intensely as we are now, but it's more, we are very much in the death stage of this chrysalis period. We can't see what's on the other end yet. You know, it does have that new moon feeling. It's we're sort of aware that this is a time where we can plant seeds, but we have no idea. We can't visually see, even in our mind's eye, what's on the other end of this. If we are in the cocoon, we've completely melted away. We haven't restructured yet into the butterfly.
Yeah. I mean, there's something really exciting about that for me.
Yeah, me too.
And this idea that, you know, whatever intentions that you had set for this year are still possible.
Yeah.
It's just through a different landscape now. You know, it's a different environment for them to grow and to bloom, which is exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, I know for myself personally, I'm much more clear on what it is that I want and what I want to do and produce and create. Mm. You know, this is such a period of it's stripping back so much that it's essentially, it's a time where we ask the question, like, why are you here? What have you come here to contribute?
Do you think that it's possible with everything going on astrologically to in certain key areas of our life, like to start new relationships or to build a new career or to sort of reinvent yourself within the chrysalis?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that's always available to a human. You know, we always have free will and self-determination, regardless of what's happening, regardless of how intense the outside world is. You've always got a lot of internal freedom and choice to play with who you are, I believe, anyway. I think that's so much of what is happening this year. It's what I was saying before about the root system and then the outer projection. It's like really getting deep into who you are and going, okay, if, you know, look at outside, there's nothing there for me. So it's a time to really go inwards. What do I care about? What do I want to do? And now is the period. And we have that Saturnian influence, which is very much about practical application, and it is the mastery of things over time. And it is that sort of ability to navigate reality with the idea that what you reap, you do sow. So it's like, what seeds do I need to plant now? Or what can I plant now that will take hold, you know, in the future?
Mm. Mm. Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I'm just processing it all. Thank you so much for explaining all of that. I think it does help to know that there's something greater at play here, and it's not really about a virus. It's about it's about what can be birthed from what was essentially us all having to be stripped back completely, and some of us smashed down to the ground. But what beauty comes from that space and that rebirth?
Yeah.
So thank you for explaining all of that to us.
Pleasure, mate.
What does lockdown look like for you at the moment?
I've just moved into a cottage in the Blue Mountains. So,
did you?
I moved a week before this all started. So,
oh my God, that's so nice.
Yeah, we've just been setting up home and relaxing a lot until this little Taurian arrives.
Yeah, how exciting! I can't wait to see that natal chart.
Me too.
Are you scared? What do you think about it already?
I don't really know many Taurians, but I'm just wondering how quickly I can get past the exhaustion and look it up on astro.com. Like a real freak.
Okay, quick, what time was it born?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Jules, I know that you are going on maternity leave, but what does that look like for your natal chart sessions?
Yeah, so I'm still reading up until around the due date, and then, you know, I'll just take 4 to 6 weeks off, and I'll be back at the end of June, because I know I'll need the intellectual stimulation.
Yeah, definitely. Feel you there. So you do your natal chart readings. You do them via Skype, don't you?
I do, yeah. All via Skype, and then at Orchard Street as well.
Yeah, in North Bondi.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. So if people want to find out a little bit more about you and your readings, where should they go?
Sure. My website is julesferrari.com.
Beautiful. And Instagram?
Yeah, it's golden_nature.
Two underscores.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't forget that, guys. That's why whenever I try and tag you in something, I can't get it. I didn't realize they were two underscores.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay. Now I know, and so do all of you. Jules, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That interview with Jules Ferrari. If you're interested in tapping into the energies of the lunar cycle for the rest of 2020, why not consider becoming a Lunar Lover member? To do so is really easy. You just click the link in the bio of this episode, or you can head to jordanalevine.com/Lunar Lover. Until next moon, I'm Jordana Levine, and you've been listening to Lunar Lover, the podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.